Man, Reinhard Bonnke told a story of a man I just listened to it this week. It happened some years ago. He was actually in Lesotho, and he went up to another part of Africa. A fella said, "We want you to preach in a prison." And Reinhard went to the prison with the man, and there was some believers, people, prisoners that had become believers, and they were having a service, and the worship leader was a man that was on death row, along with many others that was in that room, or in that part of the prison. And the Lord spoke to Reinhard, and Reinhard's a German, and the Lord says, "See that man over there?" This man was on death row. He said, "See that man? His name was Richard," he says. "He's going to be released from this prison, and he's going to preach the gospel." And Reinhard, because of such a situation, he was on death row, remember, he says, "Lord, will you say it again to me so I don't get it wrong? Did I hear you right? The man that's on death row, who was assigned to be killed, to be hung, is going to be free." And the Lord says, "He is going to be free to preach the gospel." So he calls the man over with an interpreter, and he interprets what God has spoke to him. And the guy Richard said, "You would not believe." He said, "Three times." He says, "See that three?" He says, "That's the hangman's three." He says, "Three times the hangman came, and I was in the line to be hung. And three times when he got to me, the hangman lets out a shout, 'I'm too tired to do any more. I'll come back for these another time.'" Three times, God had protected him. Within 6 months, the man was out of prison, preaching the gospel, and is still preaching the gospel. Three times he was at the hangman's tree. Can I just tell you, no matter how many times you think this is your end, God has a plan for your life and for my life. And if we will make alliances with God, we will receive what heaven has for each one of us. Amen? I want us to concentrate. I'm going to try to get through this in 15 minutes. And you say, "We do believe in miracles." Just make sure you go for your kids at 12:30, even if there's some more going to happen, because I'm going to give an altar call. I want us to concentrate on the wisest man in the Old Testament. Anyone know who it is? Solomon. Hard luck, Jeff. You win yourself another Yorkie. Solomon was. You know who Solomon was? Solomon was David's son. David had died, and Solomon was the next in line for the throne. David ruled in a time of war. Solomon ruled in a time of peace. And when you read through Solomon's lifetime, he mightn't have to go to war in a physical sense like David did. But there was times when Solomon should have gone to war in a spiritual sense and didn't, and suffered the consequences of not going to war spiritually. And I want you to listen. This is Father's Day. And I want you to read with me the last words of a father to his son. Incredible. David's on his deathbed, and he calls his son to him, and he gives him this charge. Yeah, He said, when David's time to die approached, he charged his son Solomon, saying, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth, but you, son, be strong. Show what you're made of. Do what God tells you. Walk in the paths he shows you. Follow the life map absolutely, keeping an eye out for the signposts. His course for life set out in the revelation according to Moses. Then you'll get on well in whatever you do and wherever you go. Then God will confirm what he promised me when he said, 'If your sons watch their step, staying true to me, heart and soul, you'll always have a successor on Israel's throne.'" What an incredible fatherly advice to give to our children. Kids, follow God. Sitting with your son or your daughter today, and whether they're in the Lord or not in the Lord, saying to them, "Look, my advice to you, as the way of I've followed God this year, like Caroline said, 1 year, some are a year, some are 2 years, some are 10 years, but as I've follow God, and all will go well with you." That's what he said. And he says to Solomon, he says, "Solomon, you stay with God. You stick with God. And God will keep his promise to me. He will always have someone belong to me on the throne." That the seed of Jesus himself was going to be in the lineage of David's throne. And then when you look at genius lineage, you go back and David is honored in that place. And he says, just stay tight with God. And I want to give you a quick summary of Solomon's life. Solomon was a tremendous guy. And I want to show you his first scripture on the next slide. It says this. What does it say? Yes. From the get-go. This is Solomon's life from the get-go. His dad had given him advice. He provided all that he needed to build a temple, which was glorious and magnificent in all of his ways. But listen to this. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought him to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places. One of the things you notice in the Old Testament, every time a king or a prophet or a judge came into leadership or into authority in God, the first thing to do was tore down the high places, because that's where sacrifices were made to other gods. And it says this, that the people, however, were still sacrificing in those high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given to him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings at that altar. A wrong altar. But at Gibeon, here's Solomon's summary. At Gibeon, the next slide will show some of these things, that the Lord appears to Solomon at Gibeon. In a dream, the Lord appears to him and he says, Solomon, your father, God held David in so much esteem that he blessed all the generations because of David. He held David in so much esteem because David's heart was after God, that he never went after other gods. He went after women. He went after warfare, but he never went after other gods. His heart was always set on God. And every time he made a mistake, every time he didn't try to butter it up, or he didn't try to make an excuse or blame anyone else, when he made a mistake, he took responsibility for his own life. Got before God, God forgive me, I've sinned against you, I've sinned against your people. And God always had mercy on David. And his son Solomon goes to this other place, and he offered sacrifices, and in that place where he offered sacrifices to other gods, God appeared to him. And he says, because of my son David, I'm going to bless you, Solomon. He says, name anything you want. God appears to him in a dream. What do you want? He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for prosperity. He could have asked for to subdue all the nations around him. He says, Lord, this is what I want. Give me discerning heart. Make me a wise man. Give me understanding so that I could rule your people well. And God says to him in this appearance, God says, because you didn't ask for all those other things, I'm going to give you discernment of heart. I'm going to give you wisdom. You're going to be known throughout the world, even to this day, whatever, 4,000 years later, we're still talking about this fella. People are going to talk about you. And he says, and on top of that, because you sought to look after my people first, seek ye first the kingdom. He says, I'm going to add all the other stuff onto you as well. Isn't that amazing? He could have asked for wealth and lost everything. He asked, Lord, just show me how to rule your kingdom well. Show me how to be a good leader. Show me how to love people. Show me how to treat them well. Let me be a shepherd to the people like my dad was. And God says, because you've asked for these things. He was a brain box. God blessed him by appearing to him. He was God's brain box. God started downloading him. Listen to this scripture, 1 Kings 4:29. He says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the east. He knew about trees and about birds and about nations and reptiles and fish. And all the nations, it says, came to listen to Solomon's wisdom sent by the kings of the world. Listen about this guy. He had a dream. God downloaded into him an incredible breadth of understanding about all the things that we only know now because of Google. And he knew it all. People from all over the world, kings would send their men and women to find out what that guy knows. He also builds the temple. Incredible temple that he built for God. An incredible palace like nothing ever seen before. People would come from him. The Lord appears to him again in this time in the temple. Do you remember last week we talked about fire and the glory? The fire and the glory came when he offered the sacrifices unto God. And then God appeared to him again. He says, see, because of your father David, I will bless this temple. And everyone that comes to it, everyone looks to it, everyone that prays towards it, he says, I will bless. God was downloading into this. He built the holy building. God's promises, God's glory and fire came, and Solomon seen it all. Solomon became an international superstar. The Queen of Sheba came. They all wanted to see what this man had going on. This was, you know what? This was the superstar of the Old Testament. He had everything. But there was a downfall in his life. And I want to show you what the downfall in his life was and what can we learn from it. And what we need to understand is that Solomon was a believer. Solomon knew God. Solomon experienced God. Solomon had dreams and visions. God spoke to him personally. He seen the glory and the fire of God. God appeared to him. God seen him, and he lived in the protection of God. Solomon had people from all over the world coming to listen to him. Solomon heard God speak of his promises and his descendants if he walked in his way. Solomon was blessed by God with wisdom beyond his years. Solomon's father, dying on his bed, said, Solomon, stick with the wonder of who God is, and you will see mighty things when you follow the King of Heaven. So what happened, Solomon? At the very beginning, I read you a scripture, and it encapsulates it with other things. Listen to what it says. King Solomon, however, looked many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. At the beginning, I read you chapter 3, verse 1. It says that Solomon made an alliance with Egypt by marrying Pharaoh's daughter. It's just 8 words or something. There's just the top of that chapter 3. It's like you could read over and go, my, what's going on here? And you can see in his life, listen, so he loved many foreign women, and as well as Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, Hittites. They were all from nations from which the Lord told Israel, you must not marry them. This is already in the law. That's why David said, follow the law of Moses. He was told in the law of Moses that you must not intermarry with them, because they will turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon had held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives, crazy guy, of royal birth, and 300 concubines. And his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as his father's David's heart was. He followed Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonians. Molech, listen to this word, Molech, the detestable god of the Amorites, whatever they were, Hamorites. One of the despicable things about this God was he wanted children sacrificed. That's why every time you see Molech mentioned, the detestable God. Listen, glory, provision, temple, father's voice, Molech. How does a man of God move from serving and seeing God? How does a Christian move from serving God then to serving things like Molech? He didn't follow the way of the Lord completely. What happened to him? He made an unholy alliance with Egypt. And Egypt brought in its gods and its ways and robbed his heart from following the living gods. Listen to the definition of an alliance. It's a union or an association formed for mutual benefit, especially between countries, organizations, and with people. Meaning that there is something in each of the members that gets something out of the alliance. It has benefits for both people. And in Solomon's case, Egypt was going to be an ally with force and might. Egypt was going to be, if there was people coming against Solomon with war, he could call on the Egyptians to send their warriors and their armies down and carry the credibility of their weight against anybody that would come against him. But there was a price to pay for Solomon. It was the slippery slope into turning his heart away from God. A few sacrifices here, a few women here, a few this there and a few that there. It seems innocuous. It seems, well, I'm the king, I can do these things. The only problem was he was going against what God had already spoke. And he found himself till he's sacrificing animals to the same God that demanded children, babies be sacrificed. Young virgins sacrificed. He opened his whole life up. He became involved, associated. He joined a union with an unholy alliance. An alliance is like a bridge. It goes from one side of the river to the other. But the thing is, you can walk over it, but the person you're in alliance with walk over into your life. Are you with me? It's a two-way thing. Until it's cut off, or unless the bridge is moved and you realign yourself with someone else or something else. Solomon's marriage to the Egyptian woman laid the foundation for his future fall into corruption and for ruin. In the Bible, you can follow the line. It took 300 years to undo some of the stuff that Solomon done. in making an unholy alliance. What has this got to do with us? I'm not an Egyptian. When I tell you what Egypt always stands for in the Bible, just go to Exodus. And you see that Egypt was the place that the Israelites came out of bondage. Where they came out of never having enough of anything. Where they were slaves. Where they were beaten down. Where they had no sense of hope or no sense of future. Every time Egypt is mentioned in the Bible, it's always mentioned in conjunction with, do you remember what it was like back there? Do you remember what it was like when you couldn't find God in this place? Do you remember what it was like when you were beaten down and you couldn't do work, and the work that you couldn't do because you weren't given the tools, you were beaten up for not doing the work that they didn't give you the tools to do it with? That's a hard taskmaster. And that's what Egypt always represents. And he makes this alliance with Egypt. Egypt in the Bible can signify the place that we come from in the world. Places of bondage. Places of making holy unholy alliances with deeds or thoughts or acts. And we bring it brings us into slavery. And then we become Christians. And we align ourselves. See, the cross is the call of God for every man on this planet. Every woman, every child. The cross is the call to come into an alliance with God, the God of heaven. The cross is the center point. It's the crossroads into an allegiance with God Almighty. And if you come into alliance with God, what comes in when you get with Egypt is Solomon God. But what you get with God is life and blessing, eternity, hope, future, joy, peace, dancing. That's my. So let's quickly, are you with me? You hear where I'm going? So how can I make alliances with things? I'm not in Egypt. We can make alliance with words that we can make agreement with, words that have been spoken to us. You're nothing. And you make an alliance because you believe in hell. And you come to an alignment with words that says that you're this, you're that, you're the other. When you come into alliance with God, he says you're other things. And you have to break in alliance with the old to be able to capture the new. See, the new is there. The Bible says we are new creations. But as we keep making and leaning back on Egypt, that we find ourselves being turned away from the purposes of God and the plan of God for our lives. In the Bible, it talks about when Jesus went to a place. See, alliances to the wrong people, the alliances to the wrong places, the alliances to the wrong thought patterns puts a ceiling on your life. Why is God not blessing me? What have you made an alliance with? What do you need to break? What do you need to cut off? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to reject? In the Bible, he said that Jesus couldn't do many miracles in one place. And he didn't. Do you know why? They made an alliance with doubt and unbelief. And they didn't see miracles. They didn't see what Jesus wanted them to see. They didn't see the signs and wonders that other places that welcomed Jesus in. You know why? They made an alliance with doubt. They made an alliance with unbelief. And it has to be broken. Action, words, deeds. Any action that's keeping you from the purpose of God, we break it today in Jesus' name. Don't care whether it's violence or pornography. Don't care whether it's ripping off the government. It gets broken today. Because you can't have that and alliance with them things and have an alliance with God. It doesn't work that way. Ask Solomon. Relationships that are destructive in our world. We make an alliance with wrong people. And I'm not talking about go home and show your husband out. Well, not on Father's Day, no one to joke. Go for dinner after, see. Alliances of people that you know brings destruction. That brings you down away from the things of God. I'm not saying you cut them off from the face of the earth. Saying you just break your alliance with them, that they don't speak into your world anymore. That they don't direct you. People that control with controlling words and controlling behavior. You cut off the lines with those people. Because I guarantee you, they're not leading you towards the things of God. It could be a friendly thing. But the guideline has to be, does it bring me closer to God? Does it bring me closer to fulfilling my purposes in God? That has to be the guideline. Or does it bring me away from God? No matter how good it is, doesn't matter who you're dancing with. If you're dancing all the way over there to wait in God, you're going to be in pain someday, Belder. Places, faces, spaces. Pulls us away from God. Oh. Very quickly, what happens when you come into a holy alliance? Here's what happened the 22nd of March 1989, Tuesday, 9:40, standing in the National Stadium, a little 22-year-old. I was much smaller then, I was about down here. Sharon was beside me, she was about down to where my knees are. We're standing there, the preacher preaches about, he doesn't use these words, but coming into alliance with God. He talks about, you're out of alliance when you're in a sin, you're living in your sin. But God sent his son to come to the cross. The cross, Jesus dies on the cross and he says to every person, no matter what you've ever done in this world, he says, you can now come into alliance with God Almighty. Me and Sharon put up our hand. We want God. We're only 22. We want God. I want my life to be in line with him. We never read a Bible before that. Hardly ever went to church, you know, yourself. Weddings, funerals, and bar vistas or something. Went, oh God. And two little prayers said, and God honored them. And 24 years later, we're sending people to Africa to tell them about this God and the Drimna and the Finglas and the Clondalkin and the Bray to the city. And that's your first part of the call. A man comes to Jesus. A man comes to Jesus. Well, Jesus goes to the man. Goes over in the boat on the lake. This man has been in the tomb, tormented. Demons in him. Demons all around him and in him. And the king, the father speaks to Jesus because he only did what the father said and went where the father said. So the father spoke to Jesus and he says, go over to your side. There's a man, one man, not a big crowd. He left the crowd. He left the multitude. One man crying out, didn't even use words. The Bible says he'd come out just scream. Ah! Can anybody help me? He didn't say those words, just a scream. God heard him. Spoke to his son. Jesus, get over there. He goes over, the man is there. He is full of demons. Chains couldn't hold him back, cutting himself with stones. A demon cannot just come into anybody. It cannot come into Christian. Cannot. The Holy Spirit doesn't share the house with anybody. He doesn't say, devil, you take upstairs, I take downstairs. When he comes, he clears house. But the demons were in this man. But I'll tell you, I don't want to freak anyone out on a Father's Day. But demons can be around us as Christians. Can try pushers and prodders and oppress us as Christians. But we've been given the authority to tell them to go. That's the difference. But this man was demon possessed. You don't just become demon possessed. The devil doesn't go, oh, I like Noah. Come on, live me. No. There's an alliance made somewhere. And this man made an alliance somewhere with hell. Well, not hell. The devil. The darkness. And I robbed them. I'm sure this man had a family. Somebody had a mom or dad. If not kids, he had brothers and sisters. He had someone that knew him. But there's our mads are. Over there. Full of demons. And Jesus comes. And it says this. Jesus spoke to the demons, get out. They got out. I'm pushing this forward. Get out. They got out. And the boy says, the man is sitting there, totally restored in his right mind. Totally restored. In alliance with God, restores lives. Not only that, he was realigned with God. And not only that, he was repurposed. Jesus says, go back to Decapolis, which means the 10 cities, and tell them. Tell them about what God has done for you. He made him an overnight evangelist. The director of the evangelistic crusades was the man who was demon-possessed, naked, out of his mind, a couple of minutes ago. And Jesus says, because you've broken the lions. How do we know we've broken the lions? It says when Jesus was getting in the boat, he came and begged. You never beg standing up. You always beg kneeling down. And he begged, he bowed down and knelt before the King of Heaven. He says, I want to go with you. He realigned himself with the King. He goes, you tell me where to go, I'll go. He says, go back and tell the city. God gave him restoration. He gave him realignment. And he gave him purpose. That's what you have. And a lot more that I'll tell you next week. Let's stand. Come sing that song again, Deborah. Lord, I give you my heart. Oh, how I wish we could stay another hour. Oh, I tell you, there's four. Don't miss next week. There's four today, but there's more next week. See, you can imitate. Every religion can imitate buildings, holy buildings. Every religion can imitate holy men. Every religion can imitate holy garbs. Every religion can imitate holy books. But only Christianity and only Jesus, which none of the rest can imitate, none of them can imitate the holy fire of the Holy Spirit. None of them. They can have all the dances and ceremonies and books and buildings they want, but they cannot imitate the fire of God. That's the good news, is this, that when Jesus died on the cross, part of the alliance with God is, he says, wait in the upper room, I'm going to bring fire. And they waited and aligned themselves with what Jesus said, and you know what came? Fire! Not imitation. Not people, you know, like, oh, this is like, looks holy. It was holy. And he went out and changed the world. They went out and rocked the show, as Puff Daddy said. And so here we are, Father. Can we lift up our hands? If you're here for the first time, look, you're in for the best. This is the best meeting you could have ever come to. I unapologetically say to you, there's freedom for you. And it's found in him. You don't have to understand that. And I was standing in the stadium. I never read a Bible in my life. I never, hardly ever went to church. Didn't know anything about God. Didn't even know whether he was there or not. Don't know anything. I didn't have to understand that. But freedom came. And you might say, I've fouled up many a times. You might say, I'm a Christian. He was a believer. I've experienced God, and I don't even want to make another commitment that I won't do that again. I won't go into alliance with that thought pattern, that act, that deed, that space, that face, that place. You might say, I don't want to do that again. I'll just keep. No. That's a given up attitude. It's like, Lord, here I am again. Here I am again. Here I am again. It doesn't matter if the kids come in, because the kids are being collected. And if you want to go for a cup of tea, go ahead. But if you just want more of God, and you want them alliances broke, why don't you just come to the front? Come to the front. You can wait for a cup of tea. You get a cup of tea any day of the week, any time. This is big. This is God. This is him. You know what the alliance is. I don't need to spell it out, because that would be wrong of me. But you know. I just keep getting drawn back. I keep allowing that bridge to be something coming back into my life all the time. Today we moved the bridge. Today we knocked down the bridge. Every act, any deed, any thought pattern, any words that you've agreed with, we just bring them before God right now. We bring them before God right now. Horoscopes. Break that evil alliance. Oh, it doesn't seem, like Solomon, this woman was lovely, Solomon married. But it brought us destruction. It seems innocuous. But brought him down. Awaiting God. Don't think them little things in the sides of papers are nothing. What's those other things? Mediums. Words that you've listened to. Words that you, when someone came, you know, my mom died, my sister came to me and says, Noel, I went to a medium and this is what she said, I don't want to know. I don't even want, but my ma told me everything I need to know when she was here in this world. So have you ever done that unholy thing? We break the alliance with the words. Pornography. We break alliance. With women, with men, whatever. We break alliance with that. The destruction of it is screaming in the night on your own. Deals that were made with people, we break the alliance with that tonight. Today. But Father, here we are, your people, your great, awesome people, Lord. We've heard your word, we've heard your voice this day, Father. I don't want anyone to hear what I have to say. It's very limited. If you miss what I have to say, you're not missing much. But if you miss what he has to say, you're missing everything. So whatever you came with, whatever you know that aligns with, repeat after me, all of us together. Father in heaven, I know you love me. You gave your son for me so that I could come into alliance with your heart for me. Jesus, I accept that you died on the cross to bring me into an alliance with Father God. And I receive forgiveness and grace and your love right now. I break in the name of Jesus the alliance that I have with that deed, that act, that word, that fear, in the name of Jesus. I break the bridge. I say that I align myself this morning with the highway of heaven, that your blessing will flow down your highway. Your freedom will flow down. Your liberation. Your grace to walk this out. Not just today, but forevermore. In the name of Jesus. Can we sing this song? Just sing it unto God. We that's done. Torment gone. Fear gone. Phobia is gone. Phobia is gone. You made an alliance with that thing. It's gone. Phobia is gone. You can look that wherever in the eye. You've aligned yourself with the strength of heaven. You've aligned yourself with the King of glory. Lord, as we sing this song, fill us up. Yeah, we sing it together, guys. We can leave after this. Believe me, there's something more for us. If next week we'll try to get up early and get up here for 12 o'clock or something. We'll try work around and see what we can do so we can have a lot of ministry time, a lot of prayer time here together, yeah? And we get the fire. Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
You put your hand on the shoulder of the person beside you, or in front of you, whatever. See, the Bible says, you heard me last week, we're the priests. Every believer, the Bible calls a priest. So it's not about me praying, it's about me releasing you guys to pray for one another. Pray for the fire. For that person, as we sing this song of sacrifice, of dedication, of just giving ourselves to God. Remember last week we says when the sacrifice got on the altar, fire came. Fire came. The promises of being in allegiance with God, in alliance with God, it's all about fire. So we sing it, but pray for that person. Holy Spirit of fire. We only desire what comes from the Father's hands. He said He'll pour out His Spirit on all flesh. All flesh will have an encounter with the living God.